One should accept for oneself that which is allotted by the Acharya. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. One who desires to receive the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master should not be eager to accumulate the paraphernalia for sense gratification. Rather, whatever one is able to collect, one should offer at the lotus feet of the Acharya. Being self-controlled, one should humbly accept that which is allotted by the bona fide spiritual master. Every living entity must ultimately be trained to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But until one has become expert in the techniques of spiritual science, one should offer everything to the spiritual master who is completely realized in the process of worshiping the Lord. When the spiritual master sees that the disciple is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he then engages the disciple in directly worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A bona fide spiritual master does not use anything for personal sense gratification and entrusts to his disciple only as much material opulence as the disciple can properly offer to the lotus feet of the Lord. The example may be given that when an ordinary father tries to train his son in business and other material activities, he entrusts to his son only as much wealth as the son can intelligently engage in profitable enterprises without falsely wasting the father's hard-earned money. Similarly, the bona fide spiritual master teaches the disciple to worship the Lord, and an immature disciple must simply deliver everything to the lotus feet of the guru. Such an immature child does not keep a personal bank account, but rather receives his maintenance from the father who trains the son to be responsible. If one cheats oneself by defying the order of a bona fide spiritual master or Krishna, one certainly becomes a non-devotee or sense enjoyer and falls from the spiritual path. Therefore, one should be trained to serve a bona fide spiritual master and thus become mature in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ganajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Madhirgati Matsarvasa Patam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano. So, of course, yesterday was a very wonderful class on and verse about how one should see the Acharya as Krishna himself, his very self. And then it actually started, that this series started, at least this particular point that I'd like to make, it started on text 22. It says, the twice-born member of society achieves second birth through this sequence of purificatory ceremonies culminating in Gayatri initiation. Being summoned by the spiritual master, he should reside within the guru's ashram and with a self-controlled mind carefully study the Vedic literature. So we're continuing along the line right now with that. And on the way to the temple this morning, I was listening to Srila Prabhupada, and he said one thing that kind of caught my attention. I paused it, kept it in my mind. He said, by the strength of Maya, one forgets the goal of life. So I was just going over that to see. And then I was noticing what had come to my mind earlier here, because in this verse, we're reading about how the brahmachari He's living in the Gurukula. He's living in the ashram. And he's understanding that his spiritual master is a direct representation of either Balaram or Nityananda, Krishna. He's understanding he's not the body. And he's young. Generally, they start at 5 years old. Durlabha Manasa Janma, that 1761, Prahlad Maharaj is from the very beginning, one should study. So, of course, you only really get to know someone when you live with them. So, it has the brahmachari lives with the spiritual master. And, of course, it's mentioned acharya. So, his example, he's seeing with his own eyes how the spiritual master utilizes his time, how he utilizes everything in Krishna's service. So he has the role model of the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, the spiritual master. So I was noticing practically in nowadays, to update it into where we're living, for the most part, there's a colloquialism that we're creatures of habit. And then they also say that habit is your second nature. So much in the time, people aren't deliberately thoughtful about everything they're doing. They just more or less do it as creatures of habit. So this being second nature, of course I thought, just because I think about stuff, when it says habit is second nature, what's your first nature? So in spiritual life, I've understood it to mean that we're born, 727, we're born into this material world, overcome by the delusion of desire and hate. We're in the bodily conception of life. And that, when they refer to your first nature, it's generally referring to the karma that you have. Now, we understand, as life goes on, that, what's it say, I have seen the enemy, and the enemy is me. That we have two natures. We have the bodily conception of life, default habit, nature of thinking in terms of I and mine. So specifically in this verse, it's targeting that root of I and mine. We think I am this body, everything that I can possess will be mine, and it'll be mine for the enjoyment of the senses of this body. That's more or less the way we think. Until Guru Krishna Prasade, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the spiritual master. So that by the combined mercy of the spiritual master, Krishna and the spiritual master, then one makes advancement. He gets this bhakti lata bij, and he should be cultivate that. So this this mercy, this is what we're striving for, is to become pleasing to Krishna. It says that when you chant Hare Krishna, or pure devotional service, is the only way to attract Krishna. We're trying to attract Krishna to stay with us in his manasorasena. In the very palatable exchange that takes place when one becomes aware of Krishna. But in the meantime, we have to overcome this material habit that we have. The word habit is also, Prabhupada used it in 930 purport about someone is considered saintly even if he does something abominable, if he's properly situated with his determination. And he says, because we usually do things wrong because of habit. We have bad habits or hard to break habits. So when we go to the spiritual master, Seisha gave a nice class the other day on the five items, I think, that Chalpati uses in their brahmachari, five S's. but some of them were Sanskrit, so I remember mostly the S's were English. That you remember the five S's that they taught, which is one is sadhana. So sadhana is a habit. You get in the habit of having the sadhana. And then what is, and when you're here doing sadhana, of course this sadhana, this habit, this has been very customized, developed by the acharya, by the spiritual master to optimize your developing Krishna consciousness. So if you get in the habit of doing sadhana, that even, that overcomes the mental platform. You know what the mental platform is at 4 o'clock in the morning? Should I go back to sleep? I don't know if anyone's ever heard that or not, but that's the mental platform. But if you have a good habit, then you don't even think about it. Another name for that is duty, but that's a little bit more sophisticated. You know, that's conscientiously thought about. But if you just, here we have young brahmacharis in the house of the spiritual master, and they're being trained, so they develop, they have brahmachari mentioned was the sadhana. And then what do you do? What is your other thing you're doing when you have your sadhana? Is you're serving, the seva. And then what are we doing now? It was two different ways that they also mentioned. It was study, self-study or study, that we're studying these things because the mind has to be engaged, intelligence has to be engaged. We can understand these things, even though we may not be thoughtfully executing everything in our life. More or less, the point that I was trying to make here is on habit. If we develop the habit of always giving everything to the spiritual master, this is how the brahmacharya is living. He's giving everything to the spiritual master. And that goes to the root of the I and mind, that he develops that realization that actually everything belongs to Krishna. Isha Vaishya Dham Sarvam, that's Sri Shapanishad, text 1. And text 2 is, there's no alternative for this way for man, because it doesn't bind one to the cycle of birth and death. Now, Bhagavad Gita 18:30 says that those in the mode of goodness, they know what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is to be done and what is not to be done. So this this principle of knowing what is to be feared and what is to be done, that's also part of the intelligence. But if it's not so developed, I remember I was teaching over at the Bhaktivedanta Academy, and I was having a conversation with Jai Sri Radhe once, and she says, you know that the frontal lobe is where you think and you have all of your, most of your brain activity, it's not really developed completely till you're 25. So before that time, how much we may really understand, because sometimes, you know, you give a class there, where you give a class anywhere, and you just wonder how many people are paying attention, how much are they really taking away from what you're saying. So, considering that verse, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya, that Kali Yuga, we don't have, even when it's fully operational, we don't have a lot going for us as far as we're a little lazy, we're not so intelligent. So, for the most part, the training that I'm observing here is to develop good habits. If you you're protected so much by just developing nice habits. So, of course, we listed so far, out of those five, we listed sadhana, seva, studying, and then there's, what are the other two? Sadachar, which is behavior. So we're learning how to behave correctly. And the other one was one I was trying to remember. What is, Sangha, association. Thank you. So that association, we have the habit, we come associate with devotees. And when you, with devotees, you get at least 4-5 verses from the Bhagavad Gita right away. Machitta makata pranam bodhiantam parasparam, which is amongst themselves, they're talking about Krishna. And it's delightful. It's actually very wonderful things. Someone mentioned today that they saw that I was smiling. So there's so much opportunity here. Of course, Prabhupada says chant and be happy, so following orders. But I mean, if you think about what you're doing here, this is Kevala Nandakan. The process that has been given to us is simply talk about Krishna and the spiritual master. Oh, okay, I'll finish that point. So that's 10:9, and then 10:10, because you're preaching amongst yourselves, you're getting instructions coming from Krishna, because Krishna and his instructions are non-different. And then, of course, that's special mercy, 10:11. And then you have 1868, 1869, that this is so pleasing to Krishna. There is no one that's more dear to him. So now you're also pleasing to Krishna. And then it's actually taking the root of Matsara out of the heart. So you have a 12, 13, and 14. You're very dear to Krishna, because just like this verse that we're talking about here, he's not feeling himself the proprietor. So we had the I in mind, but another place is mentioned is this 12, 13, 14 in the Bhagavad Gita. He who doesn't feel himself a proprietor, and he's not envious, so he's quite happy like that. As soon as you think you're a proprietor, there's a couple problems with that. You can't really stay a proprietor, and everybody else in this world, oh boy, I just got an image in my mind where dog eat dog, is it? You know, or piranha tank, or anything that you have, somebody else is envious of it and wants it, and they're going to take it from you. Or, I mean, maybe not overtly, but the smart ones, they figure out businesses to take your money from you. There's a couple of us in here that are old enough to remember being, when I was young, just my father worked, my mother didn't have to work, and if I calculated it out one time, that it's about, everybody back then was 10 times richer than they are now. So they figured out, the smart people figured out more ways to get more money from you, so that you're actually one-tenth of you would have to work 10 times as much back then, or now, just to be where we were at, 50, 60 years ago. And it's not, my wife once mentioned it, that she used to get an allowance, just like here, it just says that you get an allowance when you're living at the spiritual master gives you as much as you think you can deal with without having it act as Maya. Used to get a quarter for an allowance. That's like funny, isn't it? So with that, you could take a bus, get into the movies, buy two little items, a candy or popcorn, and for a quarter. Nowadays, what are we talking about? 25 cents? You know, you can't do anything for that. So that's just one observation. You know, like popcorn was, 10 cents. You know, or candy bar was a nickel. You know, so it's... That's definitely a sign that you're getting old when you can remember things like that. They figure you'll die off soon, so you can just keep raising the prices. We bought our first house, brand new house. You can't even buy a car for that now. And we bought a complete house, central air conditioning, brick, you know, in the suburbs. Nice. 1963, it was $17,000. Right. So, anyway... Envy, when you think you're a proprietor, everybody else is thinking of how to get it from you. And they're expert that they say, we're going to give you a raise. They just raised minimum wage at Walmart from $9 an hour to 11. And when I was growing up, it was a dollar and a quarter for minimum wage. So, of course, they do that, but at the same time, everybody else says that's going to have a ripple. That's going to mean that our profit margin just went down because everybody's going to be, that's the baseline. So then they have to raise the prices on everything else. So the meantime, they're raising the prices, they raise it even more, so you end up making less. So even though they just raised that, it gets compensated very quickly that, even though they raised that, just like I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they used to have, well, Prabhupada said for a paisa, you could buy like a complete meal for a paisa in India. So I don't even think they use paisa anymore. There's how many of those in a rupee? 100 of them. And a rupee's worth what? 15? 50 to an hour, it's worth 2 cents? 50? Oh, 60. So less than 2 cents? And then 1/100th part of 2 cents? You know? So, and you could buy a complete meal for that? So anyway, Kali Yuga's progressing. So that's the idea of I and mine, what that does. People think, Krishna explains it, that it burns like fire. This, when you want something, this greed, this lust for enjoying this material world, and you figure, how can I have to get something. So, for instance, one of the therapies that people use if they're not feeling good, you know what you do if you're not feeling good? You go to the mall. And you buy a bunch of stuff, isn't it? Has anybody heard that? Am I making it up or what? Right. Especially, I think ladies will buy shoes or something like that. If you're not feeling, oh, just buy
a tattoo
now. All right. So it's been upgraded and it's degradation. So anyway, this is how we're being conditioned. There's two vocabularies, there's two usages of words. There's one's called, every word means sense gratification. And then there's another one that Prabhupada uses, and Lord Chaitanya introduced it when he came back from Gaya, when he was teaching. He says, every word means Krishna, service to Krishna. So he's living at the house of the spiritual master. So just like we say, Gurudevaya Vidmehe. So you try to know the spiritual master. Try to understand how everything he does, he's doing it for Krishna. So you're living with him, and you more or less study the people you live with to some degree. You know, it's not that it's conscientiously being done, but you notice the little things they do, that they shut the door. Prabhupada mentioned the other day how someone was having an interview for job applicants, and two people came in for the job application. One didn't shut the door, and the other one shut the door very nicely. And they asked which one they were going to hire. And he says, the second one, he said, the first one was more qualified, but he didn't shut the door. So, and Prabhupada extrapolated out of that, even though the second one shut the door, that meant he could learn things. Because when you first get hired, you only have entry-level qualification. You more or less have to learn how the company does everything, how they run their register, how they do the different policies in there. So you'd learn faster. So you'd notice all these things. So when you're living with the spiritual master and you're growing up, and of course the spiritual master, you're ever well-wisher. Prabhupada would sign his letters like that. So you're living with someone who knows that you're spirit soul, who understands how to give you the best training that'll be for the rest of your life. He has such affection for you. He's also realized Brahma Puyopakopate. He's fixed on the spiritual platform, using everything in Krishna's service, and you're feeling this affection. And you give him everything. You don't really think about it. So it's not a critical examination of his personality. It's just imbibing. He's the role model. He's your example of Krishna, because Guru Krishna Prasade, it's the mercy of Krishna that you get the spiritual master, and it's the mercy of the spiritual master one gets Krishna. So the verses here is self-controlled, humbly. So these are just like the continuation of the Bhagavad Gita. One should inquire submissively from the spiritual master and render service to him. Because he's seen the truth, he can impart the truth to you. And then, of course, the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita explains how coming out of designations, because we're the whole business, most, at least 5/9 of it, is coming out of the bodily conception of life. Coming out of, and the bodily conception of life has a root that Krishna, fulfilling the desires of a living entity from time immemorial, you want to be separate from Krishna, you want to imitate Krishna, you want to possess things, just like the I and mine. It's not only that they're not yours, but you're taking them from somebody else who they are, who they do belong to. Isha, Vaishya, Damsarva, everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things that are set aside as his quota. So the spiritual master, in this verse, he's a... it says, one should accept from self that which has been allotted by the Acharya. So the last verse, the Acharya is a representative of Krishna, I should know him as my very self. Just like that verse, Sri Shapanasad, only those things that are his quota. So he's seeing how, and he's understanding by living with him, how Krishna, of course Krishna also says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, that he's your best friend. Imagine that. We're learning about our best friend who's doing everything, a lot, doing everything, sometimes the living entity thinks himself the doer, which are actually carried out by nature. So we're understanding that everything that's going on is under the direction of Krishna, either directly or indirectly. So in devotional service, just like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse part he starts off with, never there was a time you did not exist. So if you just take that and think about it, meditate on it, whatever is required to have it sink in more, as soon as you do that, you get another perspective in your life, that you're eternal, but I'm in a body. So how does that work? Krishna explains it right next verse or two after that, is that this body functions under a different set of rules. Marta Sparsis Kuntaya, it's going to experience a duality of being spirit but in the material world. So there's two things. But when you come out of the duality, then you realize Vasudeva Sarvamiti, actually everything is Krishna. So with the spiritual master, you also get to practice tolerance. We all get to practice tolerance, whether we like it or not. But ideally, you practice it to gain something from it. What value is it to have suffering without getting anything from it? Then it's just suffering. But if you have, like if you go to a doctor, you get your ear amputated, you get some kind of thing. You've undergone some painful situation, but you understand that the doctor theoretically is doing this for your benefit, not just to make his paycheck, but ideally you understand, I think you even have to take an oath that you're supposed to do it, you know, to help the other person, not just for money. So, because the doctor is doing it for your benefit, you undergo some suffering. So tapasya is also, there's a definition of tapasya. We remember that word from some time ago. It says voluntarily undergoing some difficulty or some suffering for making spiritual advancement. So there's four principles of religion. Austerity, which is what we're talking about, the pascha, voluntarily undergoing some difficulty. So you kind of get in the custom of doing that, and that turns into money. How's it turn into money? Well, not exactly money, wealth. So who has wealth by performing austerities? Austerities is the wealth. I know if you get a running start, you get. We have all. See, we're creatures of habit. We don't have to think so much. We just have to get a sound bite. So then, this austerity, this is actually your wealth. The wealth of the Brahmins is his austerity. So what are the other ones? Austerity, truthfulness, mercy, and cleanliness. So these things also they learn in the Gurukula. They see the practical application. And if you're not studying these things under somebody who has that affection for you, you may not imbibe the right mood of service. It's so important why the Acharya has this wonderful feeling towards you. He sees you as part and parcel of Krishna. He sees everyone like that. And he has his service to his spiritual master. And he's doing all these things. So in the morning and the evening, one collects foodstuffs and art and other articles and delivers them to the spiritual master. So does that ever change? How about after you're 25? You become either a householder or a varnaprastha. So morning and evening you collect things and you bring them to your house. So this is where there's houses, grihas, have two different prefixes. They have something afterwards. It's a griha blank or another griha blank. What are the two points? Okay, that griha. Meti is, as far as I've understood, it's an Indian word that's about a pole, and it's a pole that the ox is tethered to, and he goes around in a circle. Yeah, they use them for breaking the grains, different things, but the beast of burden is tethered to the meti. So when it's a griha meti, that means he's tethered to his house, and everything he does, he has to. It's centered around that. That's just the center of it. But in Krishna consciousness, we understand that that's ultimately not the highest type of consciousness to have in the human form of life. Dualabha Manasa Janma, we have a responsibility to recognize the two natures. So we have our first nature of uneducated. And then this is the second nature, second birth, second nature, the sadhana, and then the seva, and the study, the behavior, and the association. Okay. So we're doing these things because Prabhupada would also call it Brahmachari Grahastras. That even though you're in the griha ashram, not griha medhi, that you're using everything just like you were trained, because this training goes on for a certain period of time and it develops the habit. So once you have that habit, you do it without even particularly thinking. Like, for instance, has anybody ever gone horseback riding? Okay, how about just once or twice? It's different if you go once or twice and if you go regularly. If you go once or twice, the horse knows it. And you know what the horse does when it knows that you don't know how to ride? Not what you want, what it wants. And it says the horse goes back to the barn. And I had an experience. I was young once, and it happens like that. And somebody said, let's go horseback riding. I said, I don't know, get on the back of a horse. Anyway, so I got on the back of a horse and we were riding for a little while. And then the horse understood that I didn't have a clue what to do. He just looked around, and he just went back to the barn. We're about 3 blocks away, you know, and there's some big field. So I'm pulling, I'm doing everything. He paid it no mind at all. He just went back. So if you don't, it says here, self-control. So you have to learn how to, what are the reins on the chariot of the, we have a picture that we can relate to. It's got a bunch of horses, and each one of the horses had a sense on it. And each of the senses, they're pulling the chariot with the soul in it, and the reins were the mind, and who was holding the reins? The intelligence. So, in fact, if you start acting a little wild, what's the colloquial saying that they'll say? Hey, hold your horses. So there's a lot of interesting connections you can see with these sayings. So people knew that these senses are, they can run away with you. So the same way we get to training how to hold our horses and get them to go. If they know that you're not serious about controlling them, they'll just do what they want. Sure, I'll go as long as where you want to go is where I want to go. But if you want to go someplace different, I'm not going to listen to you. And you can yank on the reins, you can do everything, but they more or less know. So you have to be serious about following the orders of the spiritual master to gain control. And then it's wonderful. So this takes place. And this, what we're talking about today is you're living with the spiritual master. You're learning from him by his example. You're also, it's targeting the eye and mind, because he says there's no alternative for this way for man, because this type of activity will not bind one to the laws of karma. So devotional service is outside of karma. We're not being bound. We have a special consideration. It's very unique, actually, because we're not under the laws of karma because we're following the orders of the spiritual master, but at the same time, we may not have realized our liberated condition. We're still on the fence, so to speak, you know, a little inattention, and there's blood, there's... Prabhupada was asked once, a devotee says, Prabhupada, will you come back for me if I don't go back to Godhead in this lifetime? So what do you think was Prabhupada's reaction to that? Anybody? Yes, he actually got a little upset. He says, why wouldn't you go back to Godhead in this lifetime? You follow my orders, you're going back to Godhead. He says, you're not following my orders, so now you're not following my orders and you want me to come back again for you because you haven't followed my orders? It was a little intense. You know, he's just kind of asking, you asked a question of Prabhupada. If you're with Prabhupada, you asked a question. So he asked a question, and all this, his eyes get big, and he says, why? You're going back to Godhead if you follow my directions. If you're not following my directions, why should I be obligated? You're not following them. So, it's even though this seems quite simple, they're targeting the eye and mind, they're targeting the designations, they're targeting the self-control. Each one of these points are very developed. You know, if you just think the spiritual master, ordinary person, why should I give him everything? Why should I wait for him to tell me what to eat? Why should I do any of these things? But if one says he's a second birth, he says the Gayatri Mantra, where he says, you try to know the spiritual master. So that takes some study. But then you notice he's always blissful. He's in the bliss of Krishna consciousness. What are a couple of things that we say every day about the bliss of Krishna consciousness that the spiritual master is in? Anybody know? I say them quite often in my classes. All right. Second verse of the Guru Vastaka. What's the word for in the second verse of the Guru Vastaka prayers about the spiritual masters relishing pure devotional service within his mind? What happens when he does that? Sometimes his hair stands on end. He feels quivering in his body because he's relishing pure devotional service. So with that same one in the second line of the Gayatri, He's enthusing you because that's part of that. You want to share that, the sangha, that sharing, the that enthusiasm that he has from relishing pure devotional service. And what else does he relish? At every moment, he aspires to relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, Saksanari, just like we had the verse yesterday, the spiritual master, the acharya, should recognize him as my very self, Saksanari. So that's also in there. So we're being over and over again, we have the habit, but ideally we need to add thoughtfulness into it, because if you don't, then the niyamagraha can set in. That's where you lose sight of the goal. And that's where I started off, that the strength of maya, it says, by the strength of maya, one forgets the goal of life. We ever forget the goal of life? So by the strength of maya. So what is it? By the strength of service to the spiritual master, you won't forget the goal of life. So we can turn it around. He only mentioned, by the strength of maya, one forgets the goal of life. So what should we say? The strength of our sadhana, strength of our association, the strength of our behavior, strength of our study. That's four. What was the other one? Seva, the strength of our service. So anyway, you have to be a little proactive, even though develop good habits. Try to get in the habit. Like for myself, I don't have an alarm clock. It's time to wake up. So, I mean, how many years does it take for you to get a habit? Good habits are a little harder to develop than bad habits. It seems because we're in the material world, things aren't fair here. They're definitely Kali Yuga, they're favoring degradation. So, what to do? You're born onto a down escalator. You start off, they hold you up, they used to hold you upside down and give you a whack to get you to breathe. So, welcome to the material world. Okay. Hey, they hit me before I didn't do anything, I just got here. So, you start off on a down escalator. So what do you have to do? You ever found yourself, you have to go up. Oh, the bottom of the down escalator is death. It's just you die. So you got to start. Hard struggle for existence means you're running up this down escalator. I'm tired, I'm going to take a little break. What happens as soon as you stop going up a down escalator? You go down. So you always have to be, that's the way these bodies are. You're running from the time you're born. They got a picture that running from one body to another body. You're running, and you until you're out of this body, you can't stop doing that. And after a while, you won't run as fast as you were running before, so you'll get a little closer to the bottom. So you run, and then can't run anymore. But if you have good habits, you'll remember Krishna, Ante Narayana Smriti. Any questions or comments? I could read the verse again and then see if I covered it. In the morning and evening, one should collect foodstuffs and other articles and deliver them to the spiritual master. Then, being self-controlled, one should accept for oneself that which is allotted by the acharya. Alrighty. Going once. Oh, got one. Thank you. Nitya Leela.
So this verse talks about how we should accept what the spiritual master gives to us, like for those who live in the ashram of the spiritual master. So what about for us who don't live with the spiritual master? Or, you know, how do we know what is our quota, what is, you know?
In the purport, it mentions that when you're sufficiently trained, you move out of the house. So some of us may not have been sufficiently trained, so it's a bit precarious. So that's this Sangha association devotees, and humility, honesty. And then the other thing that kind of works for the most part is Krishna's already doing that. But what I've noticed, in the most part, Krishna and mine aren't exactly the same. I always thought it should be a little bit more. Has anybody else ever experienced that? I should just have a little bit more than I have. I got enough, but if I just had a little bit more. So, austerity of the mind, 17, 15, 16, in the Bhagavad Gita. It's, you know what the austerity of the mind is? Anybody? Yeah, just see a scholar. So, the austerity of the mind is satisfaction. And then, for a Brahmin, there's even more about satisfaction. It says, if a Brahmin's not satisfied, his knowledge will go away. He'll lose his knowledge in dissatisfaction. And then, of course, you got the small Vamanadeva. His instructions were, if one's not satisfied with what Krishna gives you, then you'll never be satisfied no matter what you get. So dissatisfaction doesn't go away by feeding it. It's like fire. So if you feed fire, it doesn't say, yeah, thanks a lot, now it's fine. No, it just burns a little bit stronger. So it's one of the tricks of the material energy. In fact, it's perhaps one of the main tricks, because satisfaction only comes from the spiritual platform. So the material energy, whether you're the richest guy there is, he's still not satisfied. Vamanadeva says, if I had one whole planet, a loka, I'd want another one. He says, so no matter how much you get, so Krishna more or less has already done that for most devotees. You get what you need. Nitya, nityanam. Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Krishna's feeding the elephants. He's feeding the ants. How'd that ant know there was a grain of sugar like 50 miles away? And you ever drop something in your house and then there's an ant? Well, they don't come alone. They got the scouts, and then they set up a trail for a major highway. They come in there, they take all the stuff that's there, and then they leave. So there's a whole nother system about this nityanam. So he's acting as a representative of the spiritual master. But we have enough knowledge. We just need the good association and sufficient hearing to know the art of being satisfied with whatever there is. And if there's some lacking that's really putting a great deal of hardship, then there's prayers. But the prayers are a little bit different. You know, there's a Tainukampam verse, which is, Prabhupada said in a Nectar Devotion, this verse is the guide for all devotees. So when it's difficult, then there's 9 processes. So we don't go outside the 9 processes, but one of them is prayers. So we have prayers, we have direct prayers, and then we have prayers that are a little bit more advanced, like Gopinath. You know, I still have all these desires, but yet I'm a devotee and I really want to be there. So the songs are a connection with Krishna. They're not just, you know, gimme, gimme. They're, you know, I'm learning how to control my senses. It's the song Gurudev, teach me to control my 6. It lists 3 groups of 6 things that you learn. So you take that and you use it, just like a businessman knows how to make money when the market goes up or when it goes down. So when I'm feeling these things, I say, I'm not this body. Because of my past activities, I'm not even getting practically the bare minimum of life. And I know I'm your devotee, so you're taking care of me, and you just more or less cry out in different, find the bhajans that were the acharyas, they left them for us. And we can see about our qualities. What's the one by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He says, just list all these, list of all these bad qualities. And then, even though it's difficult, we have Queen Kunti, we have, we make advancement. So in every situation, because we're just trying to attract Krishna. So if Krishna becomes attractive, maybe someone will say to Krishna, I think they learned their lesson. Because there's, you know, Maya's there and Lord Shiva's there. We don't know all this network of stuff that's going on that we don't see. You know, we think this body is a lump. It is, in one sense, love of ignorance, sense of network past. But I mean, each cell, there's more things going on, they say, than New York City. So I mean, how much stuff, our brain capacity, we only understand so little. So we're just trying to attract Krishna, engagement in your service. Is that all right? All right. Thank you very much for the stalwarts of the... Jai Prabhupada, all glories. Patita.